Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business, beloved. He's still on the throne. Thank the Lord. Anyway, we have been sharing this week and are going to continue for a while the immense subject of praise and worship. And I think it's important to those of you, you can say, well, you know, I get that. I don't need real instruction. Well, that's quite all right. Then you might just want to switch to another broadcast. But I do want to share the importance, and it's not my opinion, it's what Scripture has to say, and that might be important not only for your own, increasing your own depth of understanding, but also that we be able to share with others and they will understand the reasons why we use the terms praise and worship. Because when I got saved, I didn't even know what praise was. I didn't understand the term. I'd never heard it before. And so on yesterday's broadcast, we were getting into the subject of musical instruments. And so I'd just like to share a few more. I'm sharing a lot of scriptures to substantiate everything that the scripture has to tell us. And they are in the imperative mode. In other words, this is what God expects of us. It not only shows us what in the Old Testament scriptures, what the people of God did, the Jewish people, but also New Testament-wise, we are to continue. We don't often offer blood sacrifices anymore, but we can offer the praise of our lips, giving thanks to God. So in 2 Chronicles 7:6, it says, "And the priests waited on their office, and the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made." Did you know he actually made instruments, it says? "The Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever." When David praised by their ministry, he was a musician as well, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles 30:21, "And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord." There are many references to musical instruments in the Word, and whenever that occurs, it's generally reflecting a time of spiritual blessing, as well as the people of God wholeheartedly seeking the Lord. An example, in time of Samuel anointing Saul in 1 Samuel 10:5. I'm just going to give references, not read. David would brought the ark to Jerusalem. We've shared that. 2 Samuel 6:5. The glory of Solomon's kingdom, 1 Kings 10:12. And Ecclesiastes 2:8. And remember Hezekiah? As he was mentioned in 2 Chronicles 30:21, the joy that God's people had in celebrating at Jerusalem the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then in Nehemiah 12:36, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, that was really a time of rejoicing. That was the final touch to be able to get that wall up. And it says, "A great company came with gladness, thanksgiving, songs, and many instruments." And also, we have to understand, and that's true even in folk cultures today, people are more involved with the use of musical instruments than perhaps we are today. The average person may or may not be a musician. Oh, you may play a harmonica or a guitar or something like that. But generally, they were more involved. It was just a different culture, a different time. They didn't have the internet to look at. What can I say? Anyway, let me give that scripture in 1 Kings, rather. 1 and 40, it says, all the people came up after him. That was Solomon. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And what was that time? That was the time of Solomon's anointing as king over Israel, in a fulfillment of what the Lord had told David, that Solomon would indeed be his son to succeed. And I'm going to take a little bit of time to very, very quickly to talk about musical instruments mentioned in Scripture. And this is from a Bible dictionary. There was the cornet, or we may be more familiar with it as a trumpet, and we can understand that today. When you go to Jerusalem or you see television or films regarding, for example, Israel, it's a loud-sounding instrument made of the horn of the ram or ox, and it was used by the ancient Hebrews for signals, and of course, much used by the priests in worship, and it continues on today, of course. And cymbals, they are percussive musical instruments. There are two kinds that mentioned in Psalm 150 and 5. There's loud cymbals, and those could be perhaps castanets. They're like, if you wouldn't know what a castanet is, like two small plates of brass that were attached to each hand of the performer and were struck together to produce a great noise. And then, excuse me, the high-sounding cymbals, those were two, I think we're all familiar with that, symphonies, are two larger plates, one held in each hand and struck together as an accompaniment to other instruments. And cymbals were not only used in the temple, beloved, but they were also used for military purposes. They were used by the Hebrew women as a musical accompaniment to their dances, and both are still common in the East. And then, if you've ever read Daniel 3, 5, and 15, if you have, you might wonder, what's a dulcimer? Well, it's a musical instrument, kind of like the bagpipe, and that same instrument is still in use among the peasants of Northwest Asia and in Southern Europe. And then, of course, the flute. We're familiar with that, Daniel 3, 5. It's probably not the modern flute. There are four Hebrew words representing flute-like instruments, such as ugab in Psalm 150 and 4. It's just a word of uncertain meaning. But in 1 Kings 1:40, it talks about a pipe, halil, and it bore a close resemblance to the modern flute and was made of reeds, of copper or other material, and it was a principal wind instrument. And then, of course, the harp. We know what those are. It's the national instrument of the Hebrews, as well as known throughout Asia. Josephus, the historian, records the harp had 10 strings and was played on with a pick or plectrum, and the 8-stringed harp was smaller and usually played with the fingers. And then in Genesis 4:20, mankind didn't take them long to want music. It says, one of the sons of Lamech, Jubal, is the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And there were pipes, that was a perforated wind instrument, as the harp was a stringed instrument made of reeds or bronze or copper. It's one of the simplest and probably the oldest musical instrument. It's associated with the tabret as an instrument of peaceful and social character. Both were used at the banquets of the Hebrews. Isaiah 30 and 29 says, ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, as in the night when a holy psalm solemnity is kept, and with gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And also, another use was, it has a soft wailing note, and it's appropriate for funerals and in mourning. And in later times, the funeral and deathbed were never without professional pipers or flute players. Remember Matthew 9:23, the ruler's, Jairus' daughter, had died? It's a custom that still existed, and Jesus sent them all out. And then there's the viols or psalteries. I wonder what that was when I was young in the Lord. It's a stringed instrument of music to accompany the voice. And in Amos, Nebel, the Hebrew word for psaltery, is rendered as a viol. So it's kind of interchangeable. And the ancient viol or psaltery was a 6-stringed guitar. The lute is also related. It's superior in tone, it's larger, It's somewhat like a vertical section of a gourd, and it's impossible to say exactly what the instrument nebal in Hebrew exactly corresponded to. But the psaltery of David was made of cypress, and those of Solomon of algum and of almug trees. That's in 150. Now, the sackbut, that in Daniel 3:5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, which he had set up. And it was derived from the Greek and Latin sambuca, and it's probably a sort of harp. And then the tabret and the timbrel. Genesis 3:1-27 says, Laban speaking to Jacob, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with the tabret and with the harp? And the timbrel is the same as the tabret. Both the tambourine and the tabret are diminutive of tabor. They denote the instrument known as the tambourine. We're well familiar with that. Perhaps you may have someone play it in the services. It's a constriction or contraction, if you will, of tabaret. This instrument was played principally by women and accompanied with song and dance. Psalm 68:28 says, the players went before on instruments. They followed after among them with the damsels playing with timbrels. And trumpets, of course, it was used in war, Joshua 6:4. In Jericho, and the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horn. The seventh day compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it was used in worship at the dedication of Solomon's temple. Also the Levites, which were singers, they were arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, and they stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests. Can you imagine the sound of that? Sounding with trumpets. Praise God. Well, my time has flown, and we will continue on tomorrow with the same concept, the same teaching of ministering praise and worship to the Lord. I thank you so much for joining me, and if you have prayer needs, and sometimes when we get discouraged and depressed, we don't feel like praising the Lord, but I really would like to recommend you do that. And if you need the power that comes from agreeing prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. If you choose to email, that's fine. I receive them, and I will pray and confirm receive. But if you'd like a personal answer, please share your mailing address, and I will send one to you through the mail. I'm not able to spend that much time on emails as far as writing back. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.